Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, February the 14th of 2022, Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to all of you, by the way. And if you're not listening to this program, I understand. But if you are, it's good to have you. What I meant by that whole thing of if you're not listening, I understand. What I meant by that is you know, for those of you, if you hear this broadcast later, as it's archived on blogtalkradio.com, and you click on the link that says, in the search bar, you type in Upfront Entertainment, and then you click on the link that says Living Large, and then you see us. And, but what I was saying was, you happen to hear this at a later time because you couldn't hear us tonight. I mean, on Valentine's night, because you were maybe with your husband or wife or whatever for Valentine's, then I get that. But praise the Lord, it's good to be with you tonight. And hope everyone who watched the Super Bowl enjoyed the game. I will talk to you about that more so as far as the game is concerned with sports later on. And so I want to address very quickly, extremely quickly. I'm not going to dwell on this long at all. I'm going to address very quickly what happened last night at halftime. So one of the performers at halftime took a knee. Just as another one was starting to play the piano. Folks, I don't think he did that just to bow or take the bow, you know, like, or anything like an honor or respect or whatever, if someone was getting ready to play the piano. I think there was something behind that. And I don't think you should have done that on a stage that big when you're talking about the most watched show in America in an average year. I would say on average you have about 100 million viewers or so, give or take. So that means a little bit less than 1 in 3 American eyes saw that. And recently, you know, in those 2 years, we've had people, you know, the whole anthem thing. But you didn't have anyone doing it during the Super Bowl before. So why now? But I don't know. But what all I have to say about this is, you know, God bless America. And this country needs God's help. We need God's help. So you really should pray over America. Even if you're one of these listeners that tunes in from another country, from another continent, keep America in your prayers. If America's not free, no one's free. If America collapses, wow. That is all I'm going to say about halftime. Well, what took place there, and so the ads. There were some decent ads. I thought the rap for the that rap for the electric Chevy Silverado was kind of cool, but what was your favorite of the Super Bowl ads? What one was? I didn't think there were quite as many funny ones as there have been in the past. Would you agree? There wasn't as many funny ones this year, Shelley, was there?
No.
Here's the deal, listeners. Those ads costed up to $7 million per spot, 30-second spot this time. Last year, they were $5.5 million. You would think they'd bring out all the stops if they were going to spend that kind of money on commercials, but they didn't, did they? Because they weren't. Like, I would, part of what I look for in the commercials, as someone who's believing to see, part of what I look for in those commercials, personally, is one that's really funny. One that makes you laugh. And so my favorite one of all time I can think of was the one about 5G works everywhere. Like it works here. It works in there. It works in this place. It works in that place. That one was kind of funny, actually. Remember from a couple of years ago? Because you haven't watched all the Super Bowls, that's why you wouldn't remember it. So that's why you wouldn't remember it. But anyhow, listeners, that was possibly my favorite Super Bowl commercial of all time. And some people may say different things about what their favorite Super Bowl commercial is. I also liked one of the Coke commercials that was actually re-ran again a couple of years ago. And it was of kids singing America the Beautiful in multiple different languages. You remember that one, Shelley, by chance?
No.
What are some good ones that you remember, the funny ones that you remember? Do you remember the Febreze one that was ran a few years ago? Oh, so you don't remember hardly any of them. Wow. I didn't say why. I said wow. You just don't. Nonetheless, but I would say these companies got to be creative in my mind if you're going to spend $7 million that it was up to this year for one of those commercial slots. That's a lot of money. A lot of money. And obviously, yeah, there were a lot of car commercials. There always are. And so it was fun. I went to watch the game. I will say, because of where I was at, I was not listening to the 700 WLW feed, which is that station out of Cincinnati that you can hear. Which is the last that I will say about that right now. I will be listening to that station when I'm done with this to hear about the continuing coverage hearing what they're saying, because something cool to me about having a place so local being in the playoffs. And I didn't think of it this way for whatever reason when you had Chicago or Pittsburgh, when we had Chicago or Pittsburgh or Indianapolis in the Super Bowl. But being able to hear that, what I like to call hyper-local coverage, even only for like at a certain time slot every night, was kind of cool. It made me feel like, almost makes you feel like as if you lived in the Cincinnati area. Even though I don't, but was kind of a cool thing. And as I said, it was a fun thing to get to hear. I never once listened to that channel on my phone because I didn't want the national ads. Remember I told you that, Shelley?
Yeah.
Do you think there's any way to fix that so that I only get the localized ones, or do you doubt it? Because I tell you what, listeners, I'd much rather hear a Skyline Chili ad with WLW then and be listening to it, you know, on the analog radio, then be listening to it on my phone. And maybe while they have a Skyline ad going, they have a big national ad that might be for something that's really dumb. So, even though there's a way to change a feed so you only get their feed instead of the national ad. So, just something that comes to mind, because I will say that they're my And I've been doing a comparison, comparing one station to the all-news radio station that's in Detroit, 950 AM, station I used to follow a lot back in the day, and anyhow, enough on that. So, let me tell you this. I do want to remind you that I'm going to Florida next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. If I do broadcast, the broadcast that I do will be, they won't quite be as long. It'll be a bit more me kind of telling you, you know, what I've been up to, how I've been doing. And by the way, listeners, those of you listening in Michigan, could be a mess on Thursday here in Michigan. But for me, Thursday morning when I fly out doesn't look bad. So I might feel like the person who makes that triumphant escape before, like we get out just in time, because I just heard that today that they're saying that in Michigan there could be 3 to 6 inches of snow between like Thursday afternoon and Thursday night. First I was here on freezing rain. Now I'm hearing like 3 to 6 inches of snow, which means that between whatever rain falls beforehand and the snow, there could be some treacherous roads when I get to Florida around noon on Thursday. It's going to be in the low to mid 80s under mostly sunny sky. Just to kind of give you an idea. So looking forward to that. Fun in the sun. And getting to see what's going on in the great state of the great free state of Florida. And so by the way, the weather does look warmer compared to last year when I went, which is crazy to me because last year when I went was exactly a month later, just about to the day. So last year, I get there March 18th, leave March 24th. Only the day I got there was over like 76, 77. This year, February 17th to February the 24th. A month earlier. But it's going to be warmer than what it was last year. As of right now. Wow. So. Speaking of Free Florida, I do want to say thank you to all those who have supported the Freedom Convoy in any way, shape, or form. Thank you. Keep standing. You are seeing provinces in Canada dropping vaccine mandates. Illinois is about to drop their mask mandate. And Chicago area, looks like as of March 1st, that vaccine mandate in order to go into a restaurant or different places like that will be canceled. So praise God for that. And we always thank God when we have victory. Amen. Hallelujah. I know I do. And so we're winners. We don't get beaten by the enemy. We crush the enemy. Amen. Now, I want to remind you of a couple of other quick things before we get into the Word and, I mean, get into worship and then get into the Word tonight, which I'm going to, with the book of John tonight. However, I'm going to start with a chapter other than chapter 1 tonight. I want to study chapter 4, and then there'll be another chapter, chapter 13, which I won't read all of tonight, but I want to focus on a certain verse in that chapter. A couple of verses, I should say. Because with it being Valentine's Day, I figured, why don't we talk about love, like, you know, loving one another, and about how God is love. And so but then tomorrow night, we'll get back to John 1, which I would have wanted to be in anyway. But I don't mean wanted, which I would have. That's the only reason why I'm throwing it off. Amen. So, a couple quick things before we... And then after that, I want to, after we do the word, I'll talk about the sports side of the Super Bowl, because we had talked about the commercials and what have you, but I want to talk about the sports side of the Super Bowl for a few minutes at the end of the program. So, but first, I want to remind you of a couple quick things. Number one, I want to remind you of the book Rivers of Miracles. You can go online to the website riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles, which is the story of the first of my life. It's the story of my life, how gracious God has been, and how God has just always been there, and he's been so good. I just think about, he's been so good. And, no matter what you're going through, you can have comfort knowing that God's on our side. And to be honest with you, I am so grateful that God's on my side, on our side. I really am. So I don't want you to just think one thing and then think that I... Okay. Amen. But so that website again, riversofmiracles.com. Again, that is rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S of miracles.com. R-I, not R-Y like my name, but R-I, as in like a river of water. As opposed to the Gulf, which I will be in near Tampa. The other thing I want to remind you of real quick, PayPal. Whenever I mention PayPal, I always try to give you a verse about giving. And sometimes when you give, you've got to stretch in faith. You've got to stretch, like beyond what's comfortable. But in order to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program, you go online to paypal.com in the search bar, type in Rivers Shukla. Again, that name is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. And that last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla, for one thing. The other thing that I want you to keep in mind is that there is the first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla are both capitalized. The verse I want to sow into your life tonight is Luke 6:38, where Jesus says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together." How many of you drink a nice, how many of you enjoy a nice cold soda? Like me. Me too. Well, so let's say you grab a nice bottle of Coca-Cola. We'll say you have like a 20-ounce bottle you just got it at the gas station. Or this. We'll say you just got it out of the vending machine. That nice cold Coca-Cola. Well, if you open it, the second after you get it out of the vending machine, could be shaken up. But let's say you actually shake it up, the bottle up, like, and then decide to open it. You know what? It's going to run all over the place, all over the floor, all over, you know, wherever. And you have to clean up that whole mess. But my Bible says, to give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. And God looks at the heart of when you give, not just how much you give. He looks at your heart. Amen. And I always pray over your seed whenever you give. And when you sow into this program, you see, it's fertile ground. And I'm believing God to keep blessing this program. The more you bless me, the more people we reach. Amen. And I always claim that the blessing of the Lord is on my program. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Jesus is so good, isn't he? Now we're going to sing a couple of songs, and then I'm going to get into the Word of the Lord. The one who made the blind to see is moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one who made the deaf to hear is silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The one who does impossible is reaching out to make me whole, reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place, his life is flowing through my veins, his life is flowing through my veins. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The God who was and is to come, the power of the risen one. You're the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. The God who was and is to come, the power of the risen one. You're the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Sing it one more time. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I have decided, I have resolved to wait upon you, Lord, my rock and redeemer, shield and reward. I wait upon you, Lord. As surely as the sun will rise, you come to us. The dawn appears, you come. Let your glory fall as you respond to us. Spirit rain, flood into our thirsty hearts again. You come, we are not shaken, we are not moved, we wait upon you, Lord, my mighty deliverer of triumph and truth, we wait upon you, Lord. As surely as the sun will rise, you come to us, certain as your word endures. You come, let your glory come fall as you respond to us. Spirit rain, flood into our thirsty hearts again. You come, chains be broken, lives be healed, eyes be open, Christ is revealed, chains be broken, lives be healed, yes, eyes be open, Christ is revealed. You come, let your glory fall as you respond to us. Spirit rain, flood into our thirsty hearts again. You come, let your glory fall as you respond to us. Spirit rain, flood into our thirsty hearts again. You come, Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You bring life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You bring, give life. You are love. You give light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Oh, yes. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, Holy, in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, Holy. Oh, we thank you, Lord God. Oh, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord? All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord? It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, Holy. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, Holy. Oh, thank you, Lord. There is none like you. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for who you are. You are great. You are greatly to be praised. Thank you, Lord God, that you are ministering to us right where we are. It's great to serve you. You are the restorer. You are the life giver. You are. Yes, you are. You are the greatest of all time because you're God. Thank you, Lord God, that you are the greatest. You are God. And thank you that you're with us. You're going before us. You're meeting us right where we are. You're helping us as we go through this life, as we navigate through this maze, this wild maze called life, that you're helping us. You're always making a way when it seems like there is no way. But you're meeting the need. You're meeting us right where we are. Thank you, Lord, for that, for helping us in our lives. Yes. Thank you, Master, for that. We thank you for your time in the Word tonight, that you reveal yourself to us in ways that we might not comprehend. But that you would minister to us each individually. And I know you do that, Lord, and that's part of why I love you so much. And so bless our time tonight as we study your Bible, your holy word. And may this message minister to everyone who hears it. Even those who aren't with us live and who hear it on the archives. And we thank you, Master, for that. In your name we pray. Thank you that you meet our needs, every need represented on this program. Every person who turns into this program represents a need. And I thank you that you meet all these needs, because we all have needs. And I thank you, Master, for that. Thank you, Master, that you're meeting our needs. In Jesus' matchless name. And so I make my confession, Lord, over this program. I say that sponsors and partners come into this program, increases in listenership come into this program, that finances come into this program. Most importantly of all, above and beyond all that, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this program. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of John, chapter 4. Woo! Amen. John 4. And then put a bookmark in John 13. Verse 35. Because I want you to look at John 13:35 as well. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Excuse me. I found it, and that is John 4. If you beat me, I hope you only beat me by faith. Amen. Hallelujah. So, I want to begin reading at verse 1 of John 4. John 4, 1, and I read. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, who was tired, as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. So otherwise, it was about 12 noon, lunchtime. verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jesus would not associate with Samaritans. For Jews would not associate. If you knew the gift of God, how it is, who it is who asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave you the well and drank from it himself? And about his sons and folks and flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Or you could say rivers of living water. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this living water so that I will not get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told him, "Go, call your husband, come back." "I have no husband," she said. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say that I have no husband. In fact, the fact is, you've had five husbands. The one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet his time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, we will explain everything. He will explain everything to us." And Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." In other words, what he's telling her is, this Messiah that you speak of, speaking to him right now, "I'm the Messiah. Let's go to John 13 now. I told you to go to 35. But I would like to have you go back up. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Verse 35. "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows today," this time he didn't say the day, "before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Go to John 3. I want to look at a couple of verses near John 3:16, including John 3:16. This is where Jesus talks about how he loved us. Praise God. But when I exhort, you'll see why I read to you what I read you about how worship is part of loving God. Hallelujah. John 3, let's look at verse, starting with 13. "No one has ever gone to heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Everyone who walketh in doubt and unbelief is not what it says. Yeah, he shall have eternal." No, 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 no. Straight right. This is Moses followed the snake, and goes, "So the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believeth in him, believes in him, believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the one of God's name of God's one and only Son. This is the perfect light that has come into the world. But men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. So that it may be seen that what he has done has been done through God. So, the verse I wanted to show you, but this is in another chapter, was where he talks about how God is love. God is love. God is love. God is love. Let's talk about this. John 13:35. Jesus says, he told us, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So you might say, well, miracle man, he was talking to his disciples. What about us? Well, to that I say, well, the world should know us by our love for each other. The world should know us by our love for each other. The way we care about people. Supposed to love people, not condemn them. That doesn't mean that if they're sinning, that we just go sin with them. No. We love on them, but we don't condemn them. We may not condone what they're doing, but that doesn't mean we have to condemn. We don't condone or condemn. Because we shouldn't be condemners. We're supposed to be lovers, not condemners. We're supposed to love the people, hate the sin. Love the people, hate the sin. Well, I don't like the person because of what they're doing. Well, it doesn't say you have to like everyone, but you're supposed to love everybody. The God kind of love for each other. Because, did you see, love corrects. If you're a parent and you don't correct your children, then you're actually proving that you hate them. You actually hate them. You don't love them. But yeah, parents want to cue in your children. shouldn't always be correction, 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 unless you just always need it. You know, you should hug them. And, like, do the things that, you know, if you actually love them, like if you love your children, you know, you hug them, you love on them, you find out what they're interested in. And, yeah. Part of how we love God, show we love God, is through our worship to Him. Where I read you the story tonight about the woman of the well. I didn't read the full chapter. It's a very long chapter. We'll get back to it soon. And I will, and when we do, we will read that chapter. So sorry about that I read you those verses first, but there was a reason. And so I wanted to see some, show you some different verses in John where Jesus talked about love. You know, in John 4, what we find out is that near the end of that, Jesus says, the time is coming, you know, when the true worshipers will arise. Because he says, you know, we don't, because the Samaritans, he was saying, you Samaritans worship what you don't know. We worship what we do know. He's like, the time has come where the true worshipers arise. We worship in spirit and in truth. That means, like, through our own life. You know, through praise and worship. Through, you know, we honor our King, the Lord. We love on Him. Worship, praise. When you're worshiping and praising Him, you're showing that you love Him, that He means something to you. Then, God should be, honestly, be your first love. If He's not your first love, why? Anything you put in front of God is an idol. I'm coming right out and saying it. If you put something in front of God, if you love something more than God, including your own children, including your own parents, including someone else, if you put something in front of God, you are an idolater. Because that thing that you put in front of God is an idol. And you should, and one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other gods before me. Jesus said something like this in the book of Mark, where he says, a new command I give you, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And then he said at the end of John 13, you know, a new command I give you, love one another. As I love you, you love one another. There's two different times at the end of that chapter where Jesus talks about loving people, loving each other. We're supposed to love other people, folks. Doesn't matter whether we like them. Doesn't matter whether, yeah, but that person has a lifestyle I don't agree with. Well, that doesn't mean you go be their friend necessarily and go do what they're doing if they're not living like they should be. I mean, that's that. But, no, you love them. You should love them, but you don't condone what they're doing if they're not living like they should. Now, Jesus said, Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in me, believes. That means you got to have faith. You got to believe in him. Shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then in verse 17, Jesus said, Jesus didn't, God didn't come into the world to condemn it, but to save it. You know why Jesus did that for us? Because he loves us. He saved us because he loved us. Aren't you so glad Jesus loved you? But, you know, listeners, the love he gave us, for what Jesus did for us, we could try all we want to pay him back for everything he did for us. But whatever we could try to pay him back with wouldn't be enough. It couldn't compare. It wouldn't be enough. But all the stuff he does for us, all the miracles he does for us, all the healing he does for us, all the impartation, everything he does for us, he does it because he loves us. And we should love him back. We should love him back. He should be our first love. If he's not, why isn't he? What could be more important than God to you? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I pray that we would love each other, that we would stop all the striping. Because where there's strife, there's every evil work. That we would love each other, truly love each other, the way you command us to. That we would love without condemnation, just love the way you loved us. Thank you for loving us, Jesus. Thank you so much for loving us, for saving us, that you would save a wretch like me. And just because I was born into a good Christian home where my mom was saved 9 months prior, that doesn't mean that everyone else listening to this program had that. Like where they were just born into a good God-fearing house. Thank you, Lord God, that you are there with all these people, that you love them. I pray that we would realize that when we worship you, that we're showing that we love you. Thank you so much, Jesus, for loving us. For your true love. for each one of us. Thank you, Lord God, for that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen and amen and amen. In sports this weekend, the other day you had Michigan lose to that team to the South at home, 75-67. Yep, they had to get us because we beat them in football. So they had to get us. This time they did it in Ann Arbor. In hockey, you have the Red Wings get another good win for Philadelphia on Saturday. Red Wings 22-21-6. So, one game over the 500 mark. As they're trying to get to the playoffs. Hopefully they can make the playoffs. That's my hope. All right. Now, the Super Bowl. For the Super Bowl, you had Matthew Stafford winning his first Super Bowl. The first year that he's not in Detroit, he gets the Super Bowl. The first year that he's with the Rams. He must have felt inside that if he could just go there to Los Angeles, that he could get that team back to the Super Bowl where they had been a couple of years ago. And he thought, well, if I do that, I can get them a win. Because 2 years ago they had been in the Super Bowl, but they didn't win that game. No, 3 years ago they had been in the Super Bowl, but they did not win that game. Instead, they lost it to Tom Brady and the Patriots. That was who they lost it to, was to the Patriots. And then the next year, you know, the Chiefs won it. And they beat the 49ers. Then last year, you know, the Buccaneers won. This year, the Rams won. And they won 23-20, despite Matthew Stafford throwing two interceptions. At first, Stafford was really getting things going, looking like they were going to win. They were looking really good. But then later on he started playing like his old Detroit self, dropping passes, incompletions, you know, stuff like he used to do in Detroit. But then he did something at the end which was his good Detroit self. That fourth quarter comeback thing that he became known for in Detroit. Nice touchdown when they were down 20-16, which is a score that had been for a long time. And that's enough to win them the Super Bowl as they win 23-20. I figured it was going to be something like 27-24. And yes, I did figure the Rams were going to win, which my prediction came true. For me, this is actually the fourth time in a row in which I accurately predicted who would win the Super Bowl. In 2019, I predicted that the Patriots would beat the Rams. Yep. 2020, I said that the Chiefs would beat the 49ers. Uh-huh. Actually, this was the third time in 4 years, because last year, what happened last year was, I picked the Chiefs, but I wanted the Buccaneers. What I wanted actually came true, even though it wasn't what I picked. This year, the Rams, and I felt happy and sad at the same time when I saw it. You know me. You know me for too long. You know that I'm a Cincinnati fan. I enjoy the city of Cincinnati. I do. I wanted them to get a Super Bowl win. They've never won a Super Bowl. This was their third time in the Super Bowl. For the Rams, this was their fourth Super Bowl. They won the first one, lost the last two they were in, and then this one would be their fourth. Had they lost this one, this would have been the third time that they lost the Super Bowl. So in a way, it was kind of a struggle for me to decide who I wanted. And who I wanted was the Bengals. Because I wanted them to get their first ever Super Bowl win. However, I must say I'm happy for Stafford. Finally got a Super Bowl. Never won a playoff game in Detroit. But now I hope Detroit can use this extra playoff, this extra pick that they have as a result of that trade. Because now means they have two first-round picks. I hope they can use that to do something meaningful. Something to help them, like in the running game, the receiving game. We need some help with the defense. We need to stay healthy as a team. If we can find some ways to stay healthy, not so many injuries, so that we can clean up and start, so that we can clean up and start getting better, and hopefully soon win a division. Look at the Bengals. Look at the Bengals. Who they? They went from 4-12 to the Super Bowl. Look at that. They did it. Congrats, Stafford. Rams. Folks, until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.